if you were invited on a special occasion, a birthday, anniversary, or maybe graduation, or anything that may you, there are a lot of people gathered, you may have been introduced to new acquaintances, unfamiliar faces, and do you feel like you are very comfortable speaking to the person next to you? New acquaintance, do you easily start a conversation? When you are caught in an unfamiliar gathering and you sit next to a new acquaintance, what is it that you would ask? What is it that you would say to break a coldness of the moment, say icebreaker or something? For those who are leading seminars, or especially teachers, or if you are a supervisor and leading a meeting, you are perhaps not very comfortable going immediately to the lesson or to the topic you are going to talk about. So you've got to have a ready icebreaker or anything that may start a conversation. Of course, or let's say that you have already known their name, so you do not necessarily ask their name. Many times I am in an unfamiliar situation and meet new acquaintance, and I'm not very good at memorizing name. So some of you may have heard this when I ask you, what's your nickname? And that signals that I forgot your name. I forgot your name. So I say, what's your nickname? For me, to remember your nickname, and many times when you ask for nicknames, they love it because they want you to call him by that nickname. But one time I met a person that says, what's your nickname? Isumat lang, yun din. Ay, sumla, Ilocano. Ganun din. Anong tawag ng yung mga magulang sa'yo? Ganun din, parehas din. Yung mga classes mo, paano kanila tinatawag? Ganun din. Wala pa rin, hindi nabisto. And at that moment, I asked, actually, I forgot your name. I admit it. And one of the suggested question for icebreaker, if you want to have a topic moving, or if you have this conversation keep going so that you make that situation, that cool moment, coldness of moment be warmer, is that you ask for something that it may invite interest, like what is your role model? What's your model person? If I ask you, what's your model person? Your model person could be it's him or her. You would pattern your lifestyle, the way you dress up, the way you comb your hair, the way you have your makeup, or wear your shoes, or whatever you have in your lifestyle. Your model person could have influenced you. The way you speak. I easily remember one day that a person I admired most, I usually used one word that he normally used, like kind of, okay. He usually say, after in a sentence, he would say, okay. And many times I found myself saying, okay, all right, something like that. Not because I am used to that word, but because I think the person that I admire most used to say it, and it seems like it's cool for me. And if you are into basketball, or if you love basketball, some of you may have like Michael Jordan or however basketball icon you have admired, or hockey players, or for you Canadians, how do you like the pattern of your lifestyle as Canadian? Do you pattern it to the Queen? How she lives, how she wears, how she smiles, how she dresses, how she talks. Who among you admire the Queen? And how should Canadians give honor and respect to the Queen? Should paying taxes on time serve as a practical way of giving honor to the Queen? From that, how about us, Christians? How do we acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? How should we, Christians, express or pay respect and honor the King of Kings? In what practical way? Cheerful obedience. Cheerful obedience to his instruction is a very practical manifestation of respect to God. The same is true with you, children. Cheerful obedience to your parents is the best gift you can give. Hindi kagaya ng marami, pag inutusan, okay, sige na nga. Tuwa ka na. Are you happy? Parang ganun, asar. But that obedience is still disobedience, is disrespect. And you miss that gift from the Lord if you do that, children. Even if you are wiser, if you think you are wiser than your parents, even if your parents are old, your parents serve as practical on how you respect the Lord, the way you respect your parents. Our human ways of giving honor to God, we always fall short of his standards, always. Why? Because our effort is very limited. Our human idea is just, it falls short of what God really wants. Humans have no idea how high God's standard is, but with the Holy Spirit of Christ in us, our effort will be acceptable to God by faith. Many times when you are serving the Lord, especially for worship leaders, okay ba yung pagkanta ko? Okay ba yung pag-play ko? You want confirmation from other people to say, yes, okay. And you feel comfortable. But to tell you, if you did your best and you know that you are serving the Lord, even if other people would say, your voice is just average, it's not very great. To the Lord, it's great. Because it's the Lord who inspired you to give your all, to give your best. The standards of human is fluctuating. Some people, in this generation, this is the standard. But next generation, there is another standard. Next generation, there will be another standard. There was a generation when this culture is the best standard. And this generation does not respect that kind of culture. That's how we can observe that human standard is not dependable. So if you want to compete in a competition where no judges involved, because judges can have their own standard and you miss it. Only when we believers are filled with the Spirit of Christ that respect God, that respect to God is acceptable to Him. When we respect God, we say, if we give our tithes and offering in respect to God, don't look at the offering of your neighbor. He, she may be offering bigger amount of money than you, but it's for you, just as the Lord Jesus said, the two mites, the two coins that the widow gave her all was much bigger than the bags of money that rich people have given. And that is how the Lord look at what we serve, how we serve Him, how we offer Him. If it comes from our hearts to the Lord, it is the best. Now, talking about obedience, do you think that Apostle Paul never obeyed God out of selfish ambition? Did he ever obey God because it's his ambition to become popular missionary? Well, in the midst of danger, in the midst of calamities, persecution, Apostle Paul obeyed God with gladness. Calamities, dangers, persecutions, troubles, those are God's instrument for you to test your heart if you truly respect and honor Him. Paul obeyed God with gladness. The Holy Spirit of Christ bear fruit of joy in his heart. When the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our life, we have joy in respect of God. Filled with the Holy Spirit, God did extraordinary miracles through Apostle Paul. We have read a while back that the seven sons of the Jewish chief priest, they tried to duplicate, they tried to show people that they can do similar miracle in the name of the Lord Jesus. They tried to imitate what Apostle Paul was doing, and they were punished for their misrepresentation of the truth. Let's read again verse 13 and 14. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. The Bible scholars suggest that the seven sons of Sceva were practicing exorcism by casting out evil spirit, and they invoked the name of the Lord Jesus. They thought that it was a mantra, a hocus-pocus formula of exorcism to invoke the name of the Lord. And they use the name of God in vain. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? How do you pray in Jesus' name? Let's read again, 15 and 16. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who you are? Who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all, gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. 7-1. That's how strong the evil spirit. Interestingly, the evil spirit told those Jewish exorcists that it knew Jesus. And the word know used in there is kind of like express personal experience. The devil personally experienced, not just see, but experience the power of the Lord Jesus. The devil is scared of the Lord Jesus and doesn't dare to use the name of the Lord in vain. And it was not just intellectual knowledge or historical knowledge about Jesus. The devil knew exactly The demon knew exactly who Jesus is. The evil spirit also said that it knew Apostle Paul, that the term is different, although it's translated the same in English, no, but it's more of kind acquainted or heard about or observed, but not necessarily had this personal encounter or personal experience with Apostle Paul. So the word know is more of it heard information, some kind of theory or idea in that personal encounter. And the evil was telling the Jewish exorcist that it has deeper knowledge about the Lord Jesus and more than and Apostle Paul more than them. I know more than you. And they cannot scare the evil spirit by invoking the name of the Lord Jesus and Apostle Paul. And that terrible experience of the Jewish exorcist should remind us to respect the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our King. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. Think about that for a moment. How much respect, how much honor do you give to the Queen of Canada? Many Canadians disrespect the King, the Queen of Canada. How about Christians? How do we respect the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of Lords? The Lord Jesus does miracles in the lives of those who truly honor Him. If we truly give respect to the Lord Jesus, one day you will testify what the Lord has done in your life. And you know that personally. Personally, in what practical ways does God affirms that he is given honor, he is given respect in our life, that we have honored God practically? Let's read again verse 11 and 12. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirit left them. God did extraordinary miracles through Apostle Paul to affirm that the Lord was highly honored in the life of Apostle Paul. Paul was God's vessel, channel of his miracles, not just to display his power, but to help believers that know that when God is honored in believers' life, God would do miraculous things that are not normally common occurrence to humans, mysterious miracles, if you would. It has never been heard that a handkerchief, apron, were used for healing before that extraordinary experience in the life of Apostle Paul. That handkerchief could be a piece of cloth that Paul used to wipe his sweat when making tents, and not just the popular square piece of cloth to wipe running nose. And that apron was a worker's leather apron, similar to cook's apron, but it's a leather. And those two garments, those two apparels used for practical things were identified with Apostle Paul. And in our generation, can we experience similar practical miracles God did through Paul? Now, you might have watched TV where preachers would sell a handkerchief for healing. I don't know if you have one, but some time ago I saw a handkerchief with printed with Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91. And that handkerchief, they would think that it would bring miracles to their life. It had been sold in the Philippines for 300, I think, that time. Maybe this time it's 3,000, or I don't know. What is the latest miraculous experience you would like to share with others? What miracles God had done in your life? That you survived the pandemic. Well, here is one story in the Bible that I love. I love to meditate, the story of Esther. This is something that believers could learn from to maximize our experience as believers of Jesus Christ. The story of Esther, Queen Esther, reveals that, here, listen carefully, children, reveals that obedient child would be more blessed. An obedient child would be more blessed because it has been promised. The first command of the Lord with a promise is honor your father and your mother, and you will have long life. That long life is not about years of living in earth. Long life is like, wow, I enjoyed that much. It has been a good year for me, kind of like. That's the meaning of long life in there. In Esther chapter 2, verse 10, it says here, Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Look at that. Imagine that. Esther was a candidate for Miss Universe, or queen. Queen for King Xerxes. Esther was one of those beautiful women who were chosen as candidate to be the next queen. And Esther did not tell anyone about her family, nationality, background, as per instruction of her foster father, Mordecai, her cousin, older cousin. This verse 10 is very short, but it explains very briefly that Esther was a very obedient child and never doubted the wisdom of her foster father. How is that? Because they were exiled, and this cousin of hers, Mordecai, took her as her child, and that is a very practical evidence that he cared for her, that whatever he says is for her good. That was why Queen Esther obeyed him diligently. Many individuals, especially women, ladies, love the story of Queen Esther, but never very fast to observe her secret. What is it? What was the secret of Queen Esther's success? Can you shout out? That's right. Obedience was her secret. Because the Lord had promised, honor your parents and your life would be full. Your life would be full. Even now, even if you are older, if your parents are still living, keep praying for your parents. And you would observe one day, listen to this, observe one day that your life is so much better than children who disrespect their parents. You would say, not necessarily financially successful, become billionaire or something, but overall the wholesome conclusion of your life would be much and far better than children who disrespect their parents. Listen to that. Remember that. Anyway, the commandments of God, those commandments are actually God's instruction to reveal more of His power in practical ways to those who honor Him, to those who honor God. If you obey that command, it's not because you respect or disrespect your father or mother. It's because you respect the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, who gave that instruction. Apostle Paul was not very much appreciated in Ephesus. They did not like him, but he continued to honor his commitment to the Lord. Many times, we want something, we want to serve the Lord, but we are limited in our service. Most probably, look at that as diversion, detour, redirection of God's will for you to seek. So don't be, when you are working, for example, and the boss do not like you, and you keep on serving. But if ever your boss would lay you off, alisin ka sa trabaho, don't feel sad. Rejoice. Why? It could be it's God's way of detouring you to the direction, the plan, the better plan he had for you. But if you are doing great in where you are right now, then praise God and ask God the Lord how you can glorify his name where you are. Listen, to those who would hold high honor to God will personally experience his miracles. Do you believe that? Can you say amen to that? You will personally experience more of God's power if you highly honor God. And honor God, willing obedience, glad, cheerful obedience, that is the secret practical way of honoring the Lord personally. Let's read again verse 17. When this became known that the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. In the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Fear and giving honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a personal response that cannot be counterfeited. You cannot counterfeit that. You cannot imitate that. Man can deceive others. You can pretend and deceive others. Or even yourselves, you can deceive yourselves. Many people deceive themselves. But not God. Our high respect of God is possible only when the Holy Spirit of Christ is actively at work in our hearts. So keep, if you can, ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Whatever you do, fill me with your Holy Spirit. You do not understand everything, but you would have peace that surpasses understanding. But still, if you could pray, Lord, help me to pray. Help me to pray to be filled and empowered by your Holy Spirit. God would manifest in many practical ways his affirmation that we held him high honor in our lives. So keep seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ in your life. And that, again, cheerful obedience to God is a very practical example how to honor the Lord. So if there's this resistance when you are called, especially for now that we have nominated somebody for church leadership, and the leaders are now processing, maybe starting calling you, informing you that you've been nominated. Pray about that. Pray about that. Whatever decision that you would make, if you honor the Lord, you have peace. You may accept or may not accept. If you have that peace in your heart, you know that it's the Lord at work in your life. Obedience to God, cheerful obedience, is a practical example, but by human effort, we cannot obey God, godly commands according to his standards. So don't try to obey the Lord with your human effort. Pray that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the obedient Spirit of Christ, to have that joy, to have that peace. Perseverance, faithfulness. Faithfulness is another term for perseverance. If you sense that you've been faithful in doing what you are doing, then it's the Lord who is at work in you. But if there's resistance in your heart, don't just, ayoko na. No, instead, ask the Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't like this feeling. I want peace. I want joy. When we obey the Lord cheerfully, we know that it's the Christ's Spirit who enables us to obey. That's God's affirmation. He affirms us, assures us that He is honored in our life. When we allow the Lord Jesus, the King, as King of our life, when we allow Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, we give Him high respect as King, as Lord, as Master of our life. So learn how to submit to the Lord, to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus. Lord, help me submit cheerfully. I don't really, because we humans, our human nature is to resist godly instruction. That's our nature. So don't punish yourself, because that's our natural tendency, to resist the Lord. It's humanity. Human nature is to resist the Lord. But when the Holy Spirit enables us, we obey cheerfully. Our prayer will become more powerful when we are dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is when the kingdom of heaven has come upon us. Remember that Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? We seek that the kingdom, the authority of God reigns in our heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seeking His righteousness, obeying godly commands, His righteousness prevail in our hearts. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all in His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, the Lord is not short in His gracious kindness and goodness. His miraculous activities through us will follow when we hold the Lord in high honor in our life. Let's see an example in James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah, Prophet Elijah. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, verse 18. Again, he prayed in the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its crops. Other translation say that Elijah was just an ordinary human being, just like any of us. That was how it was translated to other translation, Bible translation. And God answered Elijah. Elijah was not a very special person. He is not the most athletic person. He is not the most handsome person. He is not the most popular person. He was just ordinary human being, just like you and me. And yet God answered Elijah's prayers because he held God in high honor in his life. When God answers our prayers, He affirms that we also hold Him high honor in our life. Can you agree? Can you agree that consistency of coming to worship, even in this worship, is not out of obligation? If you have that consistency, it's not out of obligation, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who inspires you and me to come and affirm that you and I hold Him in high honor. Can you agree with that? You can come consistently because the Lord is held high in your life. Check yourself. Do you come to worship out of obligation because your parents told you so, or because your friend is here also? Or did the Lord inspire you? Just check your heart. If you feel that inner joy, cheerfulness coming to worship Him consistently, oh, it's Sunday. Sunday tomorrow, what would I wear? You prepare even the night before what you would wear, or you know what to wear already, and do not rush in the morning of Sunday. You even prepare before that. And God is honored in your life. When we sense that inner feeling of coming to worship service and desire to be here ahead of anybody, you want to be ahead of anybody, then there's this warmth in your heart when you hear the word of God. There's like, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord. Now think about that. I want to be there first. You can come be here first before me. I pray that you would be blessed all the more. May God bless you more. You can come before me earlier than me. When you have the cheerfulness to obey God's command, those are manifestation that the Lord God Almighty is held in high honor in your life, meaning Christ is reigning in your life practically. Meaning you already acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord, not just out of something from your mouth. The Lord is really Lord of your life. Shall we pray?